Hello again. We're glad to greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program for the next quarter hour that deals with Bible lessons. In fact, this is the final lesson in our current series, and we have all eight of these broadcasts that are coming to you now before our mind. And we're going to try to review some of the things we've talked about in this series, so stay with us for the next quarter hour, and we'll get into this. Before we do that, however, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into thy great presence at this time with thankful hearts that you have spared our lives to the present moment. Our prayer goes out today for those who are sick, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, for our government, for nations of the world, that men may recognize that thou art God, thy teaching is true, and it will lead men in the right way to a way of peace. We trust, Father, as we sound this gospel forth, it will go into the homes and into the hearts of many who listen in this area. We're thankful for the brethren who make this series possible. We're glad that we can proclaim the gospel as a human instrument to make men know what the truth really teaches, that they may obey it from their heart, be made free from sin, and go on serving thee faithfully. Help us now, Father, in this lesson today. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, let's stand back and look at the entire scene in 1 and 2 Peter as we've had it on the past broadcasts. We began with the affirmative picture in mind, which is certainly indicative of Christianity itself, with the blessings that are found in Christ Jesus. And of all the blessings I can think of that certainly are before our mind today, it is the lively hope that we have in Christ Jesus. I want you to stop and think with your life in a temporal realm. You know as well as I do that there's only so many years that you're going to live upon this earth. You don't know how many. Maybe it'll be short, maybe it'll be many. We talk to people that are way up in years. They've been here for a long, long time. But they know that in the end, death is certain to come. But these blessings that we're talking about in Christ give us the lively hope. And isn't it a wonderful thing that a person, regardless of how old they might be, they can truly have a hope that there's a new day, there's a new tomorrow. That's the very heartbeat of Christianity. It gives the underdog an opportunity to rise and to live, and to be benefited not alone in this life, but realizing that the best is yet to come. And then one of the great teachings in 1 Peter is the salvation for the soul. You know, it was said by David many years ago, the law, Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. But that soul is something that must be saved. Peter said in Acts 2 and 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And as we brought out in the series, we don't save our soul by our own arrangement. For if that were the case, then we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need the Bible. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But we do need all of that. And the salvation of the soul is something that God is especially interested in. He gives us an opportunity to come forth from the water of baptism with every sin forgiven, and then to look forward to this glorious Christian life that we have an opportunity to live. We also talked about in this series about growing up in Jesus. And one of the things I think that is a false impression is to think that growth is indicated by physical numbers. Sometimes people talk about a congregation being strong, and then the next thing they say, well, it's got 1,200 members. Well, now this congregation could be strong with 1,200 members. But I'm led to believe that the strength must be considered first of all and foremost, because of the spiritual growth that has been made. And this will make it possible many times for physical growth to be made. I was reminded of what Barnabas told the people in Antioch in Syria when he went up there with a great ingathering, and you can read that in your own Bible in the 11th chapter of Acts. The first thing he did was to talk to the Christians and tell them with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He wanted them to grow up in the Lord. So our growing up isn't just a physical picture, but it's a spiritual picture. We grow from the inside out. Christianity begins on the inside and works its way out. And then we talked on one of the broadcasts about words from God. And that's one of the keystones of the writing of the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 4 and 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we went on to point out how that an individual, by doing this, speaking where the Bible speaks, and being silent where it is silent, is in harmony with God in his speech. And this can, of course, harmonize with his living. For not alone does 1 Peter 4 and 11 say, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, but it says, if any man minister or serve. Let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. Now, we also showed you from the writing of the Apostle Peter in a Bible lesson how our faith is put at work. Faith, it must be that strong foundation, and everything that we do in our Christian life comes forth from our faith in Christ Jesus. Keep this thought in mind. There's not a thing in the worship that we do that's not linked with faith. We pointed out to you how that when we have the Lord's Supper the first day of every week, we remember the death of Jesus, and yet someone said you never saw him. You never walked with him. We feel that he's very close to us, friends, but we've never seen him. We've never seen God. No man has seen the face of God and lived. But yet we have faith in the picture there, and that changes the meaning of the Lord's Supper. From the bread and the fruit of the vine, which is someone came in and simply looked at it from a temporal standpoint. As a lady said one time, what are these people doing, playing house? But you see, it's a spiritual something. When you put faith in the picture, it changes. And then our giving to the Lord as we've been prospered. We've never seen him, yet we're giving to him, giving to his cause. Prayer, praying to one we've never seen. In the name of Jesus Christ, one we've never seen. This whole thing is faith, our exhortation, our singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Someone says, how can you love him? You've never seen him. Well, that's an important factor. If we truly can have a love for our fellow man that we can see, then truly it goes on to a love for our Savior that we've never seen, but we have faith in him and God that we've never seen. And then there were two lessons, God's picture of sin and lustful living, that took us on the sordid side. And of course, it indicates to us that there are both sides of the picture. We showed how God's picture of sin in 2 Peter 2 and 22 is really a bad situation. The dog returning to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. And I told you on that broadcast, if you think about that long enough, it's going to make you sick to your stomach. Well, of course, we want people to be elevated in Christ Jesus. We want them to place emphasis upon the things that are spiritual, to overcome those things that are physical. And understanding that the things that are spiritual have to be recognized as being stronger than the things that are physical. The grace of God is stronger than the sin of man. Love is stronger than hate. Now, you look about you in the world, and you get altogether a different picture of that. You say, well, there's a lot of hate in the world. Well, it certainly is. And someone says, well, this has caused wars and rumors of wars and bloodshed. That's true. But love is still stronger than hate. You see, the people hated Jesus, many of them. They said, crucify him. Let his blood be upon our heads and upon the heads of our children. But the shedding of Jesus' blood, because of the love that God had for the human family, because of the love that Jesus had for the human family, and the love he had for his Father. See how much stronger this is than sin? You know, the thing I think about a lot of times when we look at lustful living, and we look at the things that are undesirable in life, and then we look at what God has given. And we say there's never a person, and I want you to think about this, friend, there's never a person who has really obeyed the gospel sincerely that could ever say that that day was a bad decision. People don't say that. But how many times do you find people who are living a sinful life, there are people who are living a sinful life today? That if you walk up to them and you talk to them about this situation, they say, well, I know that I'm a sinner. I've had people tell me I know I'm going to go to hell. They regret that. Well, someone says, why don't they get out of it? Well, of course, that's a question, but it's a question that can be answered. And we want to do everything we can to encourage people to turn from lust to love, a genuine something. Even though there's a reality in lust, yet it's something that is rotten to the core. But love is something that is genuine to the core. So isn't it an interesting point? I say a lot of times when we're talking about this subject, one of the great problems on our home scene, and one of the great problems that face people in their life, they've never learned the difference between lust and love. Isn't that true? You see, a family can have a lot of problems confronting it. But if they have love one for another and they have love for God, they can overcome those problems. How many times do people overcome their problems by lustful living? It's just like quicksand. It's just like a quagmire. They get in there and they wallow around and they feel they can't get out. And, of course, a lot of them stay in there long enough that they do not get out. And they end their life. And what a sad tragedy it is. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the wonderful thing about this whole picture is that the Lord gives everyone an opportunity to come from the transitory ways of sin and to put their feet upon higher ground. I always throw out that song that I've known from the time I was just a youngster. I'm pressing on my way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, lift me up and put my feet on higher ground. You know, it's possible as you listen to this broadcast for you to do that. What I mean, you can know from God's truth. And as you listen today, think about the condition of your soul. You may be a young person. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to spin your wheels spiritually throughout your entire life? Are you going to spend your time in the transitory things of this life and lose your soul? What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul? So no one ever says I made a bad decision by becoming a Christian. But there are a lot of people who say it's not a good decision to continue to live in sin. Well, we're going to have to close this broadcast in this current series. It's been brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ. It's not a substitution for church attendance, but a spiritual assistant for you and your entire family to come to know the Word of God better. If we can send you any scriptures, if we can talk to you in any way about the plan for salvation, why, feel free to let us know. These brethren, of course, are ready at all times to counsel with you. There are people who are qualified to do this in the congregation. And if we can do any of it by correspondence, we'll be glad to do that. Now, do remember the time of services the announcer will give you for the congregation that brings you this broadcast. And be with us next time as we deal with a new series. But I can assure you, it'll all be based upon what the Bible teaches. May God bless us as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.